Hi, I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
Our text number during the programme is 087-979-5454, and we'd love to hear from you. You can also email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com or get us on Twitter at nearfmgodtalk.
And today, greetings go out to Liesl and to Carl and, of course, Billy Jago, who's still recovering after his 80th birthday. All the celebrations. I've never seen so many cards in my life. There must have been about 80 of them there, I think. And hi to you, Billy. And thanks also to our podcast staff here at Near FM. Thanks to Paul and also to Gary, who's studio duty, doing a great job flying around the place. And I think he's still recovering from the Christmas party from Near FM. But we won't get into the details.
It was a near miss, Anthony. If you'd gone to that, you probably wouldn't be here today.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I want to say hello to Spencer. Spencer, thanks for your card. Lovely drawing of that Wahoo tree. Really lovely card. So thank you. Thanks for your kind comments and helpful criticisms.
What's a Wahoo tree?
A Wahoo tree. You better ask Spencer. He's the landscape architect.
Okay, right. We'll find that one out for
you're
next
just
week.
An ordinary architect, but he's a... landscape.
He's a landscape
guy.
He's
in LA.
Anyway, we were on the, myself and Paul, we were out on the street last week in City Centre, and we were asking a few people a few questions. And I think just amazing is the amount of activity that's on the street just around Christmas time. You know, just, I mean, we had a bit of this, Paul, you know, which was, hold on.
Oh. Yeah, it
was wrong button. Here we go. Yeah, you may remember we had
busy,
the Simon
busy.
People.
That's Grafton Street on Saturday afternoon.
Band of ukuleles, and you know, but when we spoke to a few people, we asked them some really simple questions about Christmas time, because you know, this is the time of. Jesus was born at Christmas. Now you can argue theologically whether it was in December or a different time of year.
Than theologically,
but the questions we had were simple, and we have some really interesting answers. So let's just jump straight in, Paul, and see
okay.
what happens. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In one sentence, what does Christmas mean to you?
Family. Oh, in one sentence. Being with my family.
Being with your family. Very good. And do you think Christmas has become very commercial?
I do, yes.
Okay. Don't want to elaborate on that, no?
It has become commercial, yeah. And it's become less about family, I suppose, yeah.
Sure. And here's the last question. Does Jesus' coming at Christmas have any meaning for you?
It does, yes. Because obviously that's where the whole thing originated from. So it does, yeah.
Done.
I'm not religious myself though, but it does have meaning, because that's, you know, where Christmas comes from.
Paul, that was an interesting opener there. Family seems to be a theme. We'll find it in other interviews too coming up.
I think that practically all of them put family first. And I thought that was an interesting one, because I think if you had asked people, say, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, what Christmas was about, probably the first thing they would have said was that it was a celebration or a commemoration of the birth of Jesus. So I think that's a kind of a subtle change. It's become much more about family than about anything else.
Well, we all know it is. It's a wonderful family time of year, you know, and I know certainly in our family and our wider in-laws and everything, there's great discussions that kind of start around September and about who's going where for Christmas, you know, and it is a big, important gathering, and it is a very special time of year for family. We don't want to de-emphasize that. But of course, there was a special family who found themselves away from home about 2,000 years ago in a certain place, going for a census, and she was on a donkey, and she was ready to have their baby. So this is really what it's about. It's about not just a little baby being born, but a king who came, Paul, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, that's right, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I love that scripture which says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." You know, that's in the Word of God.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder. So it's about government. It's about a change of a regime, really. So, yeah, but of course, for the first 300 or 400 years or so, Christmas wasn't really celebrated by Christians. It wasn't considered, you know, the marking of the incarnation by a yearly festival wasn't there from the beginning, wasn't there for the first few hundred years at all. And But you did have other festivals at that time of the year. We know in Ireland, for example, you have the midwinter solstice, 21st of December. We still have gatherings at Newgrange. And then in, you had the celebration of the birth of the sun, this Sol Invictus. And then you had the Saturnalia. So there were various pagan festivals celebrating the turning around, the turning towards light, away from darkness and so on. And so it seemed an appropriate thing for Christians to begin to remember at that time of year the birth of the, what the scripture calls, or who the scripture calls, the Son of Righteousness.
Yeah, because we were in town, and after we'd been talking to a few people, we were having a coffee, and I remember we were sitting downstairs in one of the cafes, and this music piped in, you know, and it was Christmas music, but they were singing, they were singing scripture, Paul, you know. And it is a time of year when people get to really think about God. And a lot of times people don't think about God all year long.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things, that is, along with the jingle bells or whatever, you also have very profound words like veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. You know, the words of, say, someone like Charles Wesley, or God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Saviour was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy.
Wow, good stuff.
We have another
one.
What
does Christmas mean to you?
I think it's just about kind of the Christmas spirit, you know, the giving spirit, given back to people who have given to you.
Very good. And do you think Christmas has become very commercial?
Absolutely, yeah. It's got nothing to do with, you know, religion anymore or the birth of Christ. It's just...
Right. Very good. And does Jesus' coming at Christmas have any meaning for you?
Maybe in a deeper philosophical sense, but as an atheist, not really, not particularly.
You're an atheist, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm a philosophy student, so I appreciate religion and Christianity.
You're a thinking atheist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
Oh, not one of those new atheists, no. No.
Okay. What's a new atheist?
The Dawkins type. Oh, Richard Dawkins, yeah. There's just no philosophy there, only sound bites and no theology at all. It's just... based on emotion rather than actual reason and logic.
So you're more of an honest atheist than a dishonest atheist.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a question for an honest atheist. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Okay. Have you ever said to God, if you're real, would you reveal yourself to me?
I have, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I have.
And
I used to be religious growing up. I was going to become an altar boy when I was in primary school. And then as I just started asking more questions, and you know, then once I started philosophy again, it was just, it didn't really stick.
And are you left still wondering about the creation and nature and how amazing?
Yeah, it really does
get your head going a bit.
Yeah. Now, I'm not a, you know, staunchly, I will never believe in anything kind of supernatural.
So you're flirting with agnosticism a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Anthony, that was really good. You were really in your element there. So we have just heard the conversion from an atheist to an agnostic
yeah.
in Grafton Street in about 30 seconds.
Live on air, eh? But it's a very interesting guy, you know. I mean, I think a lot of atheists are people who say they're atheists. When you scratch the surface, you do often find they're agnostics, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't know. I didn't plan on saying it to him, but when I did in the interview about the creation, you know, it struck a chord, because, you know, he admitted that there was so much more that he doesn't understand. And it does get a lot of people, the idea of the complexity of the life we live and our own bodies and all this stuff. You know, it points to more than just some Big Bang accident.
It takes a lot of faith to believe that was all accidental, just chance or some sort of evolutionary force.
Sometimes, Paul, on the street, I say, are you an atheist? And they say, yeah, I am. And I say, can I shake your hand and congratulate you? You've more faith than I have.
Yeah. But he was a really good interviewee. I love the way he opened up interesting what he said about Dawkins, that there was no philosophy, no theology behind the new atheism. That struck me. From a philosophy student, I thought that was a good comment.
Yeah, and it was very interesting, you know, because I think a lot of people do separate themselves from the kind of Dawkins view of things, even though they might like to think they're atheists. One of the other things was he mentioned about Christmas being nothing to do with the
religion,
birth of Christ.
That's right, I made a note of that. Nothing to do with religion, he said.
Yeah, And for many, it's gone on. And I know on a certain station, not near FM, I have to stress, but another large national station in Ireland, they have a certain show every year where they show off children's toys. And they have no reference to Jesus for the last number of years. I mean, I'm talking about absolutely zero.
Yeah, did they ever? I can't remember.
They'd have choir, they'd have carols in there and stuff. But in the last, it's been very noticeable in the last few years that there's absolutely none.
It was probably politically correct to not mention Jesus the way, for example, in some countries you would have to say Happy Holidays. You would be in trouble if you said Happy Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I think it's extraordinary. We're celebrating a birthday, but we're not allowed to mention the host. You know, It's like imagine me going over to Caffrey's house and it's Paul's birthday, but we're not allowed to mention it.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, we have another one lined up just before the break. And let me see what you think of this one.
In one sentence, what does Christmas mean to you?
Family.
Family and happiness.
Okay, and do you think Christmas has become very commercial?
Yeah.
Okay, and here's the last one. Does Jesus' coming at Christmas have any meaning for you?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, what would that be?
It's just because Jesus was born on Christmas Day. How many years ago was it?
Like 2000, ballpark.
2000 years ago, so.
And on a personal level, does that mean anything to you? Julius Caesar was born around the same time too,
That's a good point. Not really, if I'm being honest. Well, yeah. It does, obviously, but like, I don't really think about it that much. I don't think about it as much as I probably should.
Okay, and you know the wise men, when they came, they recognised him as a king.
Yeah.
Does that mean anything to you, Jesus being a king?
Yeah.
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 King of the world, eh?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Oh. I think if the previous guy we managed to convert from an atheist to an agnostic, I think we turned this man from a believer back to an agnostic because, you know, it's great that people were talking to us, but it's very interesting some of the things that came out.
Yeah, there was a touch of almost guilt there. He said, I don't think about Jesus' birth as much as I should. He kind of knew that Christmas should be about something more than the social, the commercial, the festivities. And he said, didn't he? He said, I don't think about it as much as I should.
That's right, yeah. And the question about Julius Caesar was because, you know, it was like a historical effect. And from a historical event was the birth of Jesus, as was the birth of Julius Caesar. And the birth of Caesar didn't really affect you personally, Paul, did it? You know,
no.
The fact that he was born 2,000 years ago, Julius Caesar. No, but the birth of Jesus did.
Did.
I think that's a challenge for us, you know, is he impacting our lives at all, Jesus Christ?
In one sentence, what does Christmas mean to you?
Just spending time with friends and family, you know, exchanging gifts, just nice.
Good. And having the odd drink, maybe. Okay, do you think Christmas has become very commercial?
Not as much as it used to be. You know, I used to see all those games, ads on the TV and stuff, but now I think it's kind of become more digital.
Digital, right, yeah. Cool. Okay, and does Jesus' coming at Christmas have any meaning for you?
I wasn't christened, and I don't have any religion, so not really to me, no.
And you don't have any personal faith?
No.
So, and what do you think about Jesus Christ the man? You believe he existed historically?
Oh, of course, yeah.
And he died on the cross?
Yeah, and I just don't have any personal opinion on it.
Do you believe he got out of the tomb when he died?
I don't really know the story, so I wouldn't be able to judge.
You never heard he went to the tomb?
Educated to go to their primary school.
You know, he did die on the cross,
This
guy. And he said he took our sins and he rose from the tomb, which is quite remarkable because most people, when they get buried, stay buried.
Yeah.
You know, so food for thought. Yeah. Anyway, God bless you, and thanks very much for your time.
Thanks.
Happy Christmas.
So a different kind of a student there, not a philosophy student, but Educate Together Primary School.
that was a very interesting interview because when we got to the nub of the matter about Jesus in the tomb and coming out of the tomb, she then said, I've never heard.
Mm.
Now, I mean, God bless her. I'm sure she's heard about it in some form.
No, she said, I don't really know the story.
Don't
so
really
she
know
had
the
some
story,
idea,
yeah.
but not. She was missing a lot of important details.
Yeah. So, you know, it says, I don't have any religion. But then she, you know, she did believe he exists. Now, most people, when you ask them in the right way, you know, they do believe that there was this character, Jesus Christ, who did exist. So I find Paul, in just sharing the gospel with people, I ask them the questions about, do you believe he died? Do you believe he was put in the tomb? Do you believe the tomb is empty? You know, and a lot of people, when they logically think about it, they say, yeah, I believe those things. But then they don't. Then they kind of haven't thought about it. You don't follow through
about the consequences of that. So if he was raised from the dead, well, what does that say about him? What does that say about his teaching? What does that say about his work, his life, his person, who he was, and so on? So that's...
Yeah. So, you know, anyway, she was...
And I mean, that's why it's interesting that we celebrate the birth of lots of important people, mm-hmm. and we may celebrate their deaths, but there's only one person whose resurrection we celebrate. Only one.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate Muhammad's resurrection or the Buddha's resurrection. Or, you know, we know the dates of people's death. We know when Jesus died. We don't actually know when he was born, which is another interesting one.
Don't know exactly.
We don't know. We have no idea, actually, what time of year.
What time he was born. No, some say it might be around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, or I've heard May. Some of the scholars think the month of May. The various is the month of March. They've also heard. Well, anyway, we simply don't know.
To do with shepherds being on the hill at a particular time of year.
I don't know about that.
We don't have to get into that now.
But another fascinating thing is that this time of year, the Jews celebrate the Feast of Hanukkah, which is, of course, 8 days. And actually today, the 10th of December, is the last day of Hanukkah in this year. So it actually, and that celebrates...
And what was Hanukkah?
Well, it's a celebration. It means dedication, and it's the rededication of the temple after its desecration, the time of the Maccabean revolt about 200 years before Christ. Nice. So they Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple, and then it was rededicated thanks to the bravery and the rebellion of the Maccabean revolt against the Greeks. And there was a tiny minority of people fighting against a great empire. So again, one of those times when God turned the tables in history in favor of the Jewish people in this case. Yeah. And so it's still celebrated. It comes typically between November, December. Next year, it will coincide with Christmas. I think next year, it's something like 20th to the 28th or 9th of December. But this year, it's actually just finishing today. And it's the question is, somebody asked, when is Hanukkah mentioned in the Bible? And it's mentioned actually in the New Testament in John chapter 10. It says it was winter time.
Yeah.
And Jesus was in the temple. It was the Feast of the Dedication. That we know did happen. That is a December. That is a winter feast.
Yeah, right. And then when they only had so much oil, I think, for the menorah, the lamp. And miraculously it stayed until they could get the
And that's
why
the menorah is used at Hanukkah as well. There's a lamp lit each night of the eight or nine nights of the celebrations. Anyway, that's
To all our Jewish friends, glad to have you on board. And
slightly belated
discussion about Hanukkah
greetings.
Right, we have another piece here. Yes, we were busy on the street, Paul, I have to say. Sometimes it's quiet and sometimes it isn't. And it certainly wasn't on last Saturday. So we'll just give this one a spin and see what we think. Okay, here's the question. In one sentence, what does Christmas mean to you?
Reflection.
Very good. That's a short sentence, but it's good. And do you think Christmas has become very commercial?
Far too commercialised.
And here's the last question. It says, does Jesus' coming at Christmas have any meaning for you?
Oh yes, it's the centre of Christmas. Without it, it wouldn't be Christmas.
So that was a nice one to end on, Paul. You know, she said, wouldn't be Christmas without. It's the very central part. Or for this lady, you know.
Yeah, she certainly nailed her colours to the mast. Very, very definite. She said there would be nothing. It's the centre of Christmas for her.
And she says it's a time for reflection. I think that's true. A lot of people would resonate with that. It's a quiet time of year when you're finished with the office and finished the work and between Christmas and New Year and everything, you know, you get a break from stuff. Most people do anyway. And, you know, it has become far too commercial. We all know that. And despite one of our interviewees saying that it hadn't, I think because it had gone digital.
I was wondering, did she mean that buying things online wasn't commercial?
I think she was suggesting that, yeah. She was in. Obviously, she's less bombarded with TV ads or something like that. So, Paul, we're going to be next week, we're going to get into more depth in terms of this coming kingdom, because this is a theme that's often missed, I believe, at Christmas. Because when the wise men came to visit Jesus, they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And the gold is a gift that you give to a king. And in fact, King Herod at the time, he was a nasty dude, this Herod fella. When he heard that there was a king being born, he got really, really ticked off and angry. You know.
Yeah, because they came looking for a king. They said, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east." So they actually believed, and they came to, they made the colossal mistake, we would say, of turning up at Herod's palace looking for the newborn king. So, and then the Herod, of course, tried to destroy the king who was to be born, but failed because God warned Joseph in a dream, and they took the child and his mother away. So, but the kingship is an important theme of Christmas.
Well, I think many people are following the news these days about, say, Brexit or other things going on, maybe the trouble that's going on in France. And there's plenty of geopolitical unrest going on here, there and everywhere. And, you know, the thought of an actual authority coming back to Earth, you know, is something that is, I believe, Paul, alien to a lot of Christians' thinking. You know, they think this is all heaven and all kind of sweet by and gives a harp and, you know, sort of. And yet the word of God is quite clear about a kingdom that's coming.
Mm-hmm. I always say, use the term, it's about regime change. We know politically what regime change is nowadays. You know, a new authority, new sets of rules, new laws, new everything changes. And that is actually what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to bring regime change. And that's why people either were so relieved and pleased at that, generally the poor, the outcasts, the sinners and so on, or else they were furious, the religious authorities, the civil authorities like Herod, because they knew that their number was up, their time was limited. There was somebody coming to take authority and to take the reign of God. And so for those of us who have received him in a personal way and accepted his kingship, his lordship in our lives, we're part of that new kingdom already.
Yeah. And there's been, historically, there's been many regime changes even in recent years. And often the new person coming in is greatly feted as a wonderful hero and saviour of a country. But add on a bit of time and they become a tyrant. You know, and this is what happened with Mugabe in Africa. It happened with Fidel Castro. It happened with Adolf Hitler. It happened with so many of them. When they started, people thought, here's the saviour of our country. And then it proved otherwise
false
as
hopes.
Time went on. Mm-hmm. So, but this is different. You know, this king we're talking about, this King Jesus, you know, will not disappoint.
That's right.
It's going to be something awesome.
Like that other Christmas song sings, "Where meek souls will receive him, the dear Christ enters in." Again, it's so much truth in some of those Christmas carols. Yeah.
Well, you're listening to God Talk on Near FM 90.3. We're here every Monday, 5 o'clock. And we're also early on a Thursday morning. You can get the repeat at 5:30 a.m. And if you miss all that, you can go to the Near FM website and go to the Listen Again section and get the podcast of our previous programs. So and we've been doing it for about a year and a half. So there's about 66 of them at this stage to get your teeth into.
Plenty of listening there.
And Paul, we're going to finish up with a prayer from Jesus's prayer book, which is the
Psalm,
book of Psalms.
We're going to take this evening Psalm 67, which is about the saving power of God above all the nations and what he did in Christ, his anointed one. Here it is, Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity. You guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
Thank you all very much for listening. And
until next week.
God bless you all.